And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today we're going to be talking about a subject that I suppose is the most important in the whole world. It's gigantic. It's huge. We might even have a few revelations today that maybe things that you have never heard about. Maybe you'll be shocked a little bit today. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe you will. I received a little note from Joe and Judy. You know who you are. I don't like to give out last names on the program because some people might get phone calls, get harassed, but they're from Nebraska. And Joe and Judy just sent me a little love gift, and I really appreciated it. And then they had a little note on it. It says, to Tex and all employees, thanks for all the news that isn't fake. Thanks for all the news that isn't fake. I like that. You know, this ministry used to be called, maybe we should have left it at that, Living Truth Ministries. Living Truth. Now in an age of fake news, well, we're sort of unique. We're sort of different. We still tell the truth around here. I've always felt that it's so easy to tell the truth, and I get hurt if I tell a lie. The few times in my life that I can remember I actually told a lie, and I'm not being a goody-goody. I'm just telling you the truth. Well, I got punished when I told a little fib. I've told you about a few episodes of that, but I think God does that to us. If we're his children, He lets us know, you know, when we veer away from the truth. You know, Jesus said, everyone who hears my voice is of the truth. Think about that. Everyone who hears my voice is of the truth. I believe that's John 18, verses 37, 38, somewhere around there. But isn't that amazing? Everyone who hears my voice is of the truth. It seems that many people hear the voice of Jesus, but they don't really hear it. It's mixed in with all the loud banging and clanging of the world. And they miss it. They miss that very clear sound that, I mean, is inescapably Jesus. And they're not of the truth. Of course, if you're of the truth, you'll hear it and you'll follow it. Today, we're going to talk about truth. Now, before you grab the radio dial and say, I'm going to turn it off. I know Texas is going to talk about truth. You know, it's going to be an hour of just mentioning that, you know, everybody knows, you know, you're supposed to tell the truth, blah, blah, blah. Well, maybe we might shed some light on the real meaning of truth. You know, the Bible tells us to test the spirits, to test all things and hold that which is true. Hold on to that which is true. There are a lot of things in this world. A lot of them sound good. A lot of them sound profitable, but they're not. They can cost you a lot. They can cost you your life. We're supposed to test the spirits, test all things and hold on to that which is true. That's why this hour today is going to be so important. You know, the occultists have a symbol. You may have seen it on these so-called physical fitness studios, you know, where they teach Tai Chi and all these martial arts. And it's a circle, like a world. And inside it's divided half into black and half into white. That's the occult meaning of truth. There is no truth. It is not pure. They mingle a lie with the truth. And a lie with the truth becomes a 100% lie. You can't mingle it at all, just like you can't put a touch of arsenic in a glass of water. You know, you're going to get sick. It's just bad. You drink the arsenic if you want to die, or you drink the water. But you can't mix the two. Now, I've been looking at the world and seeing what's going on for a long time, and now the world is really sort of interesting. Very interesting. I believe we're in a time of charades. Now, what is a charade? It's a fiction. It's a fake. It's a theater, a play. Sort of like, you know, kabuki theater. And you know, you're deceived. You're fooled. And then you realize that everything is fake. Has that ever happened to you? I mean, you know, maybe some business deal fell through and then you found out that never really had good legs in the first place, and you got shafted and you lost all your money. Or maybe you've had a boyfriend or a girlfriend, lover, and then they turn out not to be what you think they are, and you're disillusioned, and there are all kind of things that can go in this world. And this world is like that. But there is one thing, and I believe it's true. Aldous Huxley said it in his book, Brave New World Revisited. Brave New World Revisited. He said, the 21st century will be the era of world controllers. I believe that's true. World controllers. This will be the era, the 21st century, which we're in now, will be the era of world controllers. Well, Aldous Huxley, he told a lot of lies, and he tried to aim them at a mass audience. That's why his Brave New World is such a scary novel, a dystopian type novel. But he did tell the truth here, didn't he? Well, who are those world controllers? I'm not going to talk about that today, but I will in future weeks or months. Talk about the world controllers. Now, don't think because Donald Trump has been elected that the world controllers are defeated. It might surprise you to find out he is one of the world controllers. Oh, yes. Did I say that? Let me repeat it again. You might find out that Donald Trump is one of the world controllers. But he's got a lot of opposition. There's no honor, builders and thieves, let's just say that, okay? We'll extend it out just a little bit. But I wanted to talk to you about truth. I was recently reading, I go back and I look over some of the areas in the book, Gulag Archipelago, by Alexander Solzhenitsyn. And I study that book very carefully, and I read it, and I'm just amazed. You know, the lies that were told back in the Soviet Union by Lenin and Trotsky and Stalin. In chapter 3, Solzhenitsyn, by the way, his is, I think, a very truthful book. I really do. It tells the whole truth about torture and being taken captive by the communists and their gulags. I was recently seeing a picture just in the newspaper a couple of days ago. I think I put it online so you can see it in our website, powerofprophecy.com. But here are a bunch of people recently, and they go up to this statue commemorating, really not commemorating, but criticizing the millions who died during the communist era. And this crowd of protesters gets up, and they're all a bunch of Marxist communists, and they all shoot the finger at it. And the picture shows all these people shooting the finger at that memorial. A memorial to the dead who died being tortured and ravaged by communism. But this little group of protesters are very proud of what the communists did. You see, And there they are shooting the finger. They're happy about communism. Well, here's what Solzhenitsyn said was true, was going on in the Soviet Union and Russia. He says that some 66 million perished. And he says it could happen in the United States. It could happen anywhere. It's happened in other countries besides Russia, besides the Soviet Union. Chapter 3 says this, and get this, think about this. Solzhenitsyn writes, if the intellectuals in the plays of Chekhov, who spent all their time guessing what would happen in 20, 30, 40 years, had been told that in 40 years interrogation by torture would be practiced in Russia, that prisoners would have their skulls squeezed within iron rings, that a human being would be lowered into an acid bath, that they would be trussed up naked to be bitten by ants and bedbugs, that a ramrod heated over a Primus stove would be thrust up their anal canal, that's called the secret brand, that a man's genitals would be slowly crushed beneath the toe of a jackboot, and that in the luckiest possible circumstances, prisoners would be tortured by being kept from sleeping for a week by thirst and by being beaten to a bloody pulp. Not one of Chekhov's plays would have gotten to its end because all the heroes would have gone off to insane asylums. If those who enjoyed the plays of the famous Russian playwright Chekhov had known all of this was going to occur, and if Chekhov had written about these things, why? They would have gone off to insane asylums also. But these things did occur. This is true. We don't give them much thought today. We say America's a very prosperous, wonderful country. Why, people, they're crossing rivers and hills and obstacles and riding railroads and doing whatever they can to get here. They get here illegally, as illegal aliens. And yet, what if once they were here, shortly thereafter, these things began to occur? What if America becomes Soviet Russia? It can happen, dear friends. Henry Mako, my good friend, who's written a number of books on the Illuminati, said recently, he said, increasingly Western society is an open-air mental asylum run by psychopaths. Wow. That's what Mako said. I think he's right. They say that about 5% of a society today, 5% of society, that means one out of every 20 persons is a psychopath. Now, psychopath also is called a sociopath. It was the psychopaths that had their way and doomed Soviet Russia. What if they were to gain power today? What if they're already here? What if they control much of our government today? What if they're within a hair's breadth of gripping the whole thing? Grabbing America by the hair of the head and holding it up and torturing us. Could they do that? Or do we have the mechanisms, the Constitution and so forth? I already see the courts. They tell us that the Constitution is whatever the judges say it is. That means we have no constitution. And of course, our president says that there is no state, there is no government if there are no borders. Well, ours are open sieve. We have no borders. It seems like we're ripe for what happened in Russia. I received Time magazine, March 27th recently, picture of a beautiful girl. Is on the cover, but actually she wasn't a girl. It was a boy. And the cover said, beyond he or she. Oh, it was a transgender then. Well, you can't tell by the picture. But it says, beyond he or she, how a new generation is redefining the meaning of gender. Now, what is true here? Is this a girl or a boy? And the article says, a growing number of young people are moving beyond the idea that we live in a world where sexuality and gender come in only two forms. There's no he and she. There are many forms. So we read about all of these sporting events, wrestling, weightlifting, and so forth, where a transgender has recently won. It turns out that girls weightlifting, that a boy won it. Well, not a boy, but he does have a male genitalia. But he says, I'm a girl. And because society has now changed just in the last few years, truth has become untruth, and untruth has become true. If he says he's a girl, he's a girl. And he wins the weightlifting contest. I suspect the other girls are complaining, but when they do, they're called all kind of names. How terrible of you. Why, don't you realize this other girl is a girl? Well, don't complain because he's got or she's got genitalia that are masculine. If she wants to be a girl, he is a girl. And then when the young girls go to their bathrooms, the 10, 12, 14-year-old girls go to their bathroom, and there's some 40-year-old guy there, they can't complain because he's watching over them and seeing them when they're undressing and all that. Why? He's a transgender. Why, he's not even a he. He's a she. Who says so? Well, he, she said so. And if you don't accept it, you're a racist, misogynist, homophobic pig. That's what they say. Nobody wants to be a racist, homophobic, misogynist pig. But that's what you are. So Time says there's more than two now. And you got to get it straight, because in New York City, they'll fine you $1,000 if you address somebody by the wrong gender. If you're in a restaurant and you call for the waitress and you say, ma'am, and it turns out to be a he can look like a she, but it's a he, and you can get fined $1,000. You just insulted the poor thing. Oh, we get confused, don't we? But we're not yet being taken away to the Gulag Archipelago, but maybe it's only a short roll from here to there, possibly. I was recently reading Vladimir Lenin. He said this, and by the way, this is engraved in the wall, engraved in stone in the wall. When you walk up the steps to this huge building in Moscow called Pravda, they publish a newspaper there. That's what Pravda means, truth. Now, the communists began this newspaper called Truth. Of course, it was always a pack of lies, but they called it Pravda or Truth. And the reporters carved into the wall there, let me sort of paraphrase it, it's in Russian, it's a quote by Lenin. He says, why should we allow people to write bad things about the government? Why should we allow people to do that? After all, he says, words are more powerful than bullets. That's what he said. Why should we allow people to write bad things about the government? Words are more powerful than bullets. And that they are. You've heard the old saying, you know, the pen is mightier than the sword. Well, it is. By the way, interestingly, another thing Lenin said, think about Barack Obama. He called himself a community organizer. Now he's recommending that everybody become an organizer and organize against Trump. Well, Lenin says, quote, the press should not be only a collective propagandist and a collective agitator, but also a collective organizer of the masses. The press should be then a collective, that means they're all together as one, propagandist, they put out propaganda, a collective agitator, they cause people to get upset and to move one way or another, but also a collective organizer of the masses. There you go. An organizer of the masses. Collective, of course. And Lenin says that's what they're to be. Wow. All spreading lies, of course. I remember the Russian monk Sergius Nilus. Probably pronounced his first name wrong. Forgive me. He wrote a book called The Great Within the Small. Sergius Nilus was a great Christian man, a man of God. He was the one who first published the edition of the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. They were an attachment, you might say, or, you know, an appendix within the book, The Great Within the Small, which is a book about prophecy. Published way back in 1905, and he said in the book something terrible is about to happen to Russia. Well, Russia had been the same for hundreds of years. Of course, it was changed, but you had the Tsar and the royal family and so forth. But he said things were about to change. And he submitted to the masses, well, it really weren't very many people who read his book, that the protocols of Zion were going to move things right along. He says the Antichrist is at hand. Satan is here. And he's about to do his horrible, foul work in Russia. We're about to lose our freedoms. 12 years later, a dozen years later, the communists took over. The protocols of Zion happened to be real life. Some people say they're a forgery today. They're a fake. They're not real. They're a hoax. But they became real, folks. And so Sergius Nilus was arrested. Why was he arrested? Because he had told people of the protocols of Zion. He was the first to tell them, a Russian monk, a Christian. In tears, he had begged the people to do something. He said, all Christians all throughout the world need to get together because the beast is at hand. But the beast took Sergius Nilus and put him on trial. And the judge said, you have done a great, horrible thing to the state to tell the people these things. You're hereby sentenced to 10 years in a gulag, in a prison camp. Speech is not always free, you see. Speech is not always free. As an interesting aside, while he was there, he noticed that most of the prisoners, at least early on when they began to populate all the prison camps, the communists that is, some had 10-year sentences and a few had 20-year sentences. But 10 years was usually what you get, you know. And he was there, and Solzhenitsyn says, actually, that he heard these guys talking, they were all waiting, and he had just been sentenced himself to 10 years. At hard labor, Solzhenitsyn, that is. And a guy came in, and the Maria, and that is the, you know, the sort of like the paddy wagon, sit down. They said, how much did you get? He said, I got 20 years. They said, 20 years? What did you do to get 20 years? He said, I didn't do nothing. I didn't do a thing. The other guy said, you must have done something. For nothing, you only get 10 years. For doing nothing, you get 10 years. You must have done something. Oh, wow. Well, Lenin has another quote I'll give you. He was an expert, of course, at propaganda, at agitation, and naturally of organizing of the masses. And he told a lot of lies. He said, you have to tell lies to get communism, of course, or people, well, they're not going to be communists unless you lie to them. He says, a lie told often enough becomes the truth. Is that the truth? Is that real? A lie told often enough becomes
the truth.
Well, it does if you're in a communist country. And I think many people begin finally to believe it. I think they do. Now, let me tell you a little bit about some lies. For example, 9/11. We've all been lied to, 9/11. Come on, admit it. Did 19 Arabs really hijack these big 747 aircraft? Did these 19 non-pilot Arabs fly these big aircraft into buildings? And were they led by some dumb mastermind thousands of miles away in some cave in Afghanistan or Pakistan? Some guy in a cave somewhere commanding these 19 Arabs? Well, it hasn't occurred again, has it? I wonder why. It would seem to be a simple thing for a couple of Arabs to hide a box cutter in their pocket and to hijack an aircraft. But it hasn't happened again. I wonder why. And then I wonder why we haven't gone to the moon again. 1969 we went. Three men, including, of course, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin, went to the moon. Or did they go? Well, about 90% of the American people believe it. We've been told it over and over and over. They went to the moon. You know, I believed it for many years, and just recently I quit believing it. I studied all the facts. I even did a video. My video is entitled, "The Eagle Has Landed." I don't believe men went to the moon. You said, wait, Tex, wait just a minute. We went back in the late 60s. That's right, we went to the moon. Now, folks, we didn't even have the personal computer then. We had a big, you know, remember the Univacs and the giant computers big enough to be, but you couldn't even get them in your house. They're so huge. And yet we were supposed to go all the way to the moon. Now, think about it. The liftoff capacity, we had to have these giant engines that blasted the rocket or the spacecraft up into space. Remember that? Big bulging pieces of smoke and fire and the three astronauts on this little bitty spaceship going up to the moon. But then when they got there, they just landed, just dink, so nicely. I mean, they didn't crash. They didn't hit it. It was all so well planned, just dink. And those grainy pictures we saw, and of course, when they got ready to go, why, they, you know, turned on the engine and it just left real nice. They didn't seem to have a big launch pad. They didn't have a Cape Kennedy or whatever they call it, Cape Canaveral or, you know, Houston Mission Control and all that stuff, did they? But they got in there and just, bink, just left. It was so easy. And they came right back to Earth. I don't believe it for a second. Tex, you must be a fool. How could you believe that they deceived us? Don't you remember Neil Armstrong when he said, "That's one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind"? Oh, yes, I do. I've gone back and I've seen all of that. We'll talk further about the fact that we never went to the moon, and we're not going back, by the way. That's right. We've never gone back. Now, a few other men supposedly went to the moon back then in that decade or so, but we've never been back. And now look at all the technology we've got. Well, we've got computers that they're so tiny. They easily fit in your palm. Computers bigger than the ones that carry that spaceship up. Why, we've got all kinds of technology today. But we've never been back to the moon. I wonder why. We'll talk more about that and about truth when we return. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. We're talking about truth today. I have a truthful book for you. I think you'll want it. It's really one of my best books. And it's also one of my favorites because it tells the truth. I did know I was going to get in trouble for telling the truth. It seems that Amazon doesn't want me to tell the truth. Amazon.com, the world's biggest book retailer, they were selling the book until the World Zionist Congress and the World Jewish Congress and, I don't know, all the Jews complained about it because they did not like the fact that it told the truth. So they got Amazon to censor it. Censorship raised its ugly head and they banned the book. Got on their ban list. The Holy Serpent of the Jews, you cannot say those things. Our content guidelines say no. Well, what are your content guidelines? Well, we're not going to tell you. Oh, they're not going to tell me what their content guidelines are. But I told the truth in the book. Doesn't truth count? Isn't truth the defense? Well, they say no. They're talking anything about truth. It's one of the few books in the world, the whole world, out of millions that have been banned. I guess I'm sort of proud of that. Wouldn't you be? I mean, my book is very distinct. It's very unique, very special. It's one of the millions on this planet that have been banned by Amazon. You can buy it, though, from us. You can hide it. You can, you know, put it in a sack and, you know, carry it very stealthily into your house and go back into a closet and get you a flashlight and read it. And read all those things that Amazon doesn't want you to know. They banned this book. Ooh. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you what it says. It says the Messiah and the God of the Jews is actually the Holy Serpent, Leviathan. You'll find him in Isaiah in the Bible, Leviathan. He's the beast. You'll find him also in the book of Job in the Bible. It describes him there. Wow. Don't tell me, Tex. The Jews believe in Leviathan, the serpent, as their God, as their Messiah. Well, this is true. I quote all the rabbis in the book. Not all of them, of course, but the most important ones. For example, today, the most popular rabbi, they say, in the whole world is a man named Yitzhak Ginsburg. Yitzhak Ginsburg, he's acclaimed by all the Jews who say he's the voice of Judaism. He started the Billy Graham, the Rick Warren, the Joel Osteen. He's a great guru of Judaism. He says our Messiah is the holy snake. That's the serpent, you know. Why don't they ban him? I'll bet you his books, I don't know if he has any, but he's celebrating everything he says. Why do they ban me? Why don't they ban all the rabbis that I quote? Well, you see, the Jewish Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud, that's the actual name of it. The Babylonian Talmud is their most holy book, more holy than the Bible. It says if a Jew were to tell the Gentiles what the Talmud teaches, they would be worthy of death. Oh, that's why. You're a Gentile and you don't know that Leviathan is the holy serpent of the Jews. But that's why I told you. I did your research for you. You know, that's my job. It's just my job to tell the truth. But I should have known they banned my book. Well, I suppose I'm not going to make $1 million from the book. Haven't made $1 million yet from a book, but Jerry's over here and he's saying, too bad. Too bad. I'm not going to make $1 million, Jerry. I told the truth. You would think that Yitzhak Ginsburg, the rabbi, would, you know, he would pay me not to do the book. Don't do this book. We don't want Gentiles to know. I guess he knew I'd say no. But you know what? Actually, I never thought I'd make $1 million. I knew I wouldn't. I knew I'd be far from that, but I would tell you the truth. And I felt good about it. When I finished this book, I said, you know, I feel better about this book than any book I've done in a long time. I still do. I think Jerry here in my ministry complained to Amazon when they took it off their list, but I haven't asked him to. I don't really care. It shows you what they are. Jeff Bezos, the owner, is a Jew, and He's got about three Jews that are lined up as his chief lieutenants there. And that's what they do. They ban books that tell the truth. They ban my book. I'm one of the few. It's a badge of honor. If they banned other people's books and didn't ban mine, I'd feel bad. Now, I know it's going to cost me because a lot of people will not read it. They'll be frightened. But you know what, friends? I bet you're one of the ones that would read it. I suspect you'll order it. I bet you'll order this book. Why? Because you want to know the truth. I believe my audience at Power of Prophecy that's the kind of audience I have. You know, I get all these letters in. They're from courageous people. I told you about the little note that I got from Joe and Judy. Thanks for all the news to Tex Morse. Thanks for all the news that isn't fake. Well, there you go, Joe, Judy. I'm proving it again. You're right. I want you to have this book. You know, it not only quotes the rabbis, but it explains exactly why the serpent is the religion of Judaism. Jesus said, you have for your religion the traditions of men. Oh, well, I thought they had the Old Testament. No. The Old Testament prophets. You see, when you go to heaven, if you know Jesus Christ, you will go to heaven, and there will be all the prophets. I believe that. You'll see Jeremiah and Elijah and, oh man, it'll be Moses. It's going to be a great time. It's going to be wonderful. They'll be your brother and sister. You say, well, no, they're Jews. Well, of course, you're a Gentile. But when you're in heaven, you don't have an earthly body anymore. That's one of the great mysteries of life. It seems that races are only for earth. And then we leave it just, we jettison it. It goes back to dust, but we go up to be with him. Oh, yes, that's where the prophets will be. You can count on it. I want you to have this book. It's $20. Please add $5 shipping and handling. Ask for the book, The Holy Serpent of the Jews. Or you can say, hey, I want that banned book. But don't do that, because by that time we might have another two or three banned. Who knows? Oh, my. Ask for the book, Holy Serpent of the Jews. Call us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Or go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, and there you'll see it. And you can order it using your PayPal, your charge card. Again, $20, $25 total, and we'll send it right on to you. I believe it's one of the best books I've ever done. But, you know, I'd like to know from you. If you think it's a good book, now, I say good, you know, I don't mean that rabbis say is good, but the book in explaining it is good. I hope you'll let me know. I need a little encouragement sometime, you know? People out there banning my books and saying all these things, I could just feel real bad. I could just chalk it all up and just quit. But I'm not going to, because Jesus doesn't want me to. And you know, every once in a while, I hear him say to me, well done, Tex, well done. Boy, that's enough. That's a lot of encouragement when you hear Jesus' voice say, well done. Oh, that's a lot of encouragement. But I hope you'll add to that too. It means a lot to me. I love hearing from you. I do. Our address here is 1708 Patterson, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Again, folks, that's Power of Prophecy. Or write to me, Tex Morse. And by the way, I read everything that comes in. Could be a note, could be a letter, an email, whatever it is. I read it. And sometimes I write you back. Many times I can, but I do read your mail. Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Now, let's return to our program. We're talking about truth today. Up there on the moon, by the way, this is back in the days of Lassie, the FBI. Remember that TV show? There was of course, Disney's been on for a long time. The Ed Sullivan Show, Bonanza. Remember all those shows? Well, that's when we went to the moon. Now, you know they didn't have the technology back then, so they had to fake it. But, boy, that told the Russians something, didn't it? Boy, America's ready. We got the first moonshot.
Yeah, well,
Now, in addition to what Neil Armstrong said, Buzz Aldrin was up there too, supposedly. And he said, magnificent desolation. That's what I heard him say. Now, Armstrong said, that's one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind. Of course, he can't say that anymore, can he? Did you know that was prejudice now? I just read in Time magazine, Beyond He or She. He talked about mankind. You can't say mankind anymore. One step for a man. You can't say man anymore. We're all transgender. Didn't you know that? I guess he was just old-fashioned. Well, but Buzz Aldrin added magnificent desolation. I guess he meant the moonscape. It was like a magnificent desolation. A desolation has a lot of bad meaning, doesn't it? Now, it's interesting that when he went to the moon, let me just tell you a little bit about Neil Armstrong. Neil Armstrong did not like to brag. He didn't want to tell people he went to the moon. Nobody could get him for interviews. Nobody even knew what he looked like. Wow. Now, he gave a very rare speech about 25 years after the Apollo mission, after he supposedly went to the moon. He gave this speech at the White House. And he explained why he never told people all about the moonshot. It was like he was embarrassed about it. Could it be because he never went there? And he was embarrassed about telling people that he did? But people wanted to know why he didn't talk about it. His great achievement. Why didn't he talk about it? Well, here's what he said. Now, listen to this very carefully. Here's what Armstrong said, why he never talked about his achievement of going to the moon. He said, quote, there are unimaginable wonders out there for those who can remove some of truth's protective layers. Ooh, did you get that? This is what he said. He never talked about going to the moon, but the one time he talked about it, 25 years later, in a speech at the White House before President Clinton, he said, there are unimaginable wonders out there for those who can remove some of truth's protective layers. Wow. You got to remove truth's protective layers, and then you'll have unimaginable wonders. Really? Really? That's really something. You know, Ayn Rand, do you know her, folks? Oh, she wrote so many books. And they say, you know, she was like a libertarian. She fought communism. Oh, yes. Uh-huh. And of course, you've seen the book of, you know, Atlas Holding Up the Globe. That was her book. She had a number of books, of course, but Ayn Rand, she's a big hero. It seems that Paul Ryan, the House Speaker, was a big fan of hers. And even Ron Paul. I think he named his son Rand Paul because he really believed in Ayn Rand. Now, it's interesting to me. I've studied the life of Ayn Rand, and I just determined that I would write a book about her. And I hope I get to it, folks. I do, because, you see, she was not what she was perceived to be. She was not what she was perceived to be. She was a fake. She was a Zionist. And she was a communist. What, you say? Well, she hated communism. Tex, you stepped off the deep end again. Now you're blaspheming. You're talking about our great heroine, Ayn Rand. Well, you see, Ayn. Her name is not Ann now. Her name is Ayn. Such as in Ayn Sof. Well, that's the name of the Judaism god. She took that for herself. What does Ayn mean? Not Ann, but her name was Ayn Rand. I don't know what the Rand means, but I do know that her real name was, well, Alicia Rosenbaum. Did you know that, folks? Ayn Rand is actually Alicia Rosenbaum. That's a Jewish name. Seems that she didn't want anybody to know she was Alicia Rosenbaum. Let me tell you what she said one time. She said,
The hardest thing to explain is the glaringly evident which everybody has decided not to see. Think about that. The hardest thing to explain, she says, is the glaringly evident which everybody has decided not to see. It's what's so evident, but nobody seems to see it. Ayn Rand should know. She was a big fake. I'll tell you about her some other time, maybe. Just like Neil Armstrong, she was a fake. Well, we go back to Solzhenitsyn, of course. He said something important one time. He said, one word of truth outweighs the world. How much does truth weigh? It weighs very much. It's very heavy. It's a powerful, it's a substance that nobody really understands. The scientists have never really truly explained it. The social scientists, that is. George Orwell said, telling the truth in an age of universal deceit, that's what we're in now, folks, an age of universal deceit, telling the truth in an age of universal deceit is a revolutionary act. George Orwell. Now, George Orwell invented in his book, 1984, the memory hole. Remember the memory hole? The news went down the memory hole. When they wanted to rewrite the news, it went down the memory hole. I saw an example of that the other day. The New York Times newspaper printed a story on its front page in which they said something like, you know, the government has wiretapped Donald Trump. The government has wiretapped Donald Trump, said the New York Times. Now, apparently, later on, Donald Trump came out with a tweet, and he tweeted, my office has been wiretapped. Well, everybody should have said, well, we knew that. That was in the New York Times. Well, the New York Times was embarrassed because then they came out and said, no, he was not wiretapped. Oh, we said it before. That he was wiretapped. Oh, so they put out a new story. They put out a new edition. This is months later of the newspaper. The same location on that page one, they took out the word wiretapped and put in surveyed. They changed their story. The first story went down the memory hole. The memory hole. I guess that's what Amazon wants to do to my book, Holy Serpent of the Jews. They're hoping it'll just go down the memory hole. You know, when something goes down the memory hole, you never see it again. It's like the black hole. You never see it again. Now, I understand that Amazon took thousands of books all about the Jews. Some of them told the truth of what's happened during the Holocaust. They told the truth about the Holocaust, and they all went down the memory hole. They must not want you to know about it. It seems like you would be allowed to judge for yourself what is truth. Don't you think? You should be able to judge that. You're an American. You're educated, right? Who are they to tell you what is true and what isn't? Who are they to say what should go down the memory hole and what shouldn't? There's that movie, you know, I forget the name of it. You probably remember it. I think it's about the Marines, about some guy murdered somebody, and then this trial took place, and I think Tom Cruise, the actor, was the prosecuting attorney, and Jack Nicholson played the old colonel who was on the witness stand, and Tom Cruise said to him, what we want is the truth today. Now, that's what we're looking for here in this courtroom, is the truth. And Jack Nicholson looked at him, and you know that how he can act, and he growled back, you can't handle the truth. You can't handle the truth. I suppose Amazon doesn't think you can handle the truth. And you know that's true for so many things, like Lee Harvey Oswald killed John F. Kennedy, and he acted alone. Oh, of course he did. No, he really didn't. You know he didn't. It seems that everybody knows it now, but it's still the conventional wisdom. It's the truth, isn't it?
Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. You got to believe it. If you don't, you're a conspiracy buff. You're a conspiracy theorist. 9/11 happened. 19 Arabs. Masterminded by some nut in a cave. Somewhere 10,000 miles away. Did 9/11. That's what you're led to believe. Well, you got to believe that. Why? You're a conspiracy nut if you don't. You say, well, I don't believe that. Really? My goodness. Maybe you bought into Solzhenitsyn when he said one word of truth outweighs the whole world. Maybe you are believing in that one word of truth. Could it outweigh the whole world? The whole world believes Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone, that 19 Arabs headed by Osama bin Laden acted alone, that we went to the moon, that on and on and on and on. You know, Sir Winston Churchill was an extraordinary liar. Ooh, Tex. He's one of the heroes of World War II. But he was indeed an extraordinary liar. Listen to what he said here. He said, the truth must be surrounded by a bodyguard of lies. Wow. The truth must be surrounded by a bodyguard of lies. Well, once they tell a lie, then they start having a bodyguard. You have another lie to support that lie and another to support that lie. It's sort of like they said about Watergate. You know, the cover-up is bigger than the original lie. You got to have a cover-up or you can't get away with a lie. So you keep lying and lying, and it gets bigger and bigger. Of course, Hitler once observed that the bigger the lie, the more people are likely to believe it. Now, he wasn't pushing lies. He wasn't promoting lies. He was simply acknowledging that's true. I think he was talking about the communist lie. The bigger the lie, the more likely people are to believe it. You can't tell them there was a conspiracy to kill Kennedy. They wouldn't believe that. But if you tell them a lone nut did it, they say, oh, yes, yes, absolutely. My goodness. You're a revolutionary if you don't believe that. And they keep the truth bottled up about JFK and who killed him and how it happened. They keep it bottled up in the National Archives. And Richard Nixon, our president, our past president, got a team of FBI and ex-CIA guys called the Plumbers, and he was going to break into the safe at the National Archives to steal the information, to steal the data about JFK so we would all know. But of course, they caught him first, and he was forced to resign. Why did he have to break into the safe? Doesn't the president run the United States? Can he just toll the National Archives, bring me over bring me that file on JFK? Evidently, there's an archivist there, National Archivist, and that's his job to make sure that nobody that's unauthorized can read the file on JFK's assassination. Not even the President of the United States can read it. Wow, that's incredible. Who told the National Archivist only he could read it? It seems that there's a lot of things happening in America that we don't know about. Do you remember at all those rallies when Donald Trump mentioned the crook? You know who the crook is, of course. That's Hillary Clinton. He'd mention Hillary's name and the whole crowd would go wacko. They'd go, lock her up, lock her up. Oh, that, lock her up, lock her up, lock her up. And I sort of liked that, didn't you? They should have locked her up. But she hasn't been locked up yet. He's in charge of Mr. Comey and the FBI, but he hasn't locked her up yet. Well, he exonerated her, but everybody knew that she is a liar and there's 45,000, how many ever there are, emails missing and all that nonsense. They know she's a crook. She should be locked up. And Donald Trump even said at one of the debates with Hillary, I'm going to lock you up. I'm going to put you in jail for lying, for doing all the things you did, you know, surrounding the Clinton Foundation and all that. But then once he got to be president, what did he say? Did Donald Trump tell Attorney General Sessions, the new Attorney General, go after Hillary? Indict her? Put her on trial? Make her wear the orange jumpsuit? Do the perp walk? Put her in prison? No, he did. You know what he said? Well, Bill and Hillary Clinton, have been hurt and have suffered enough. That's what he said. They have been hurt and have suffered enough. So with that statement, Trump told us he's not going to indict her. But she was given $145 million, according to the testimony, $145 million by the Russians. They bought 20% of all of America's uranium. 20% uraniums make atomic bombs, and they bought 20% of our uranium. That's years and years. That's like 50 years worth of uranium. Ooh, and they gave $145 million to the Clinton Foundation. They didn't even pay our government. They paid Hillary and Bill. That's a criminal act, isn't it? They don't even have to pay back the $145 million because Donald Trump has said they've been hurt and have suffered enough. Wow. My goodness. Jerry's over here sitting in our broadcast booth. What if you stole $145 million? Not $145, not $145,000, but $145 million. Yeah, because you know what they say? No man is above the law, but evidently they are. Of course they are. The Clintons have suffered and are hurt. They're hurt and suffered enough, I think is the exact statement. That's what Trump said. He's not going to do a thing to them. You see, he's not a revolutionary then, is he? Because he won't tell the truth. And a lie told often enough becomes the truth. That's what Vladimir Lenin said. Everywhere we turn today, the government lies to us about a myriad, thousands of things. Our whole history is a pack of lies. And that's why Henry Ford, the great industrialist, said history is bunk. Well, religions are bunk too, except Christianity. Except for Christianity. And there, my friend, is the royal difference. There is the great, great difference. You can't trust Islam. They say they're a religion of peace, but they're a liar. I've read their Quran. They believe in killing. They believe in rape. They believe in horrible things. They believe in murder. That's the religion of Islam. And all the other religions have terrible flaws, terrible things happen to them. But Jesus, even when he stood before Pilate, even when he was tormented and tortured, brutalized by the soldiers, he stood mute. He stood mute. And Pilate said to him, "Don't you understand? I have the authority to let you go free." Jesus said, "You have no authority, but what is given to you by my Father in heaven." And Pilate was frustrated. But Jesus says, "Those who hear my voice, they know of the truth." Pilate answered a historic, an unbelievably historic answer. He said to Jesus, "What is truth?" It was standing right there in front of him. Because Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That, my friends, is the truth. And the Bible tells us to test the spirits, test all things, and seek out which is pure. And hold on to that. Hold on to it fast. The Bible tells us. If you've got Jesus, my friends, you've got the truth. Hold on to it fast. I'm Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. Please tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.